Hey, this is Charlie.
And this is Will.
And before we get to today's episode, we just want to let you know we have one more of our live shows happening August 3rd at the Basement Comedy Club in Melbourne.
Be there or be square.
Or be there and be square, if that's your prerogative.
Yeah, in fact, we're not going to judge you, whatever shape you are.
Yeah.
Whatever size you are.
Yeah.
Come to our show.
Three sides, four sides, eight sides, we don't care.
Triangle, octagon.
I don't know where this bit's going.
Anyway.
The important thing is that there is a link in the episode description. One final show in Melbourne, August 3rd. We'd love to see you.
Now enjoy this show that you're about to listen to right now.
A Listener Production.
The creators of this podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which it is recorded. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are the first storytellers of this land. We pay respect to their elders, past, present and emerging, as well as any Indigenous people who may be listening today.
Come on! Everyone relax, this is Toe Fop. I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Will Anderson. Hello, and...
Sorry.
I haven't even got through hello. Thank you for watching.
Please, continue.
No.
I was going to laugh.
Charlie, you know what I love? This Charlie leaned over you so dramatically too. Like, for anyone watching video content of this, you've got to, like, this is, we're trying to do face-to-face recordings, which I love. They're great. Like, you know, and in the same room, better energy, but we did our live show yesterday. This is the first of a day of us recording. Didn't start on fire with you halfway through my introduction, leaning over to, I thought, vomit.
I had a very milky flat white before we got here, and I just got a, I was worried that I was going to spit like a phlegm onto you, so that's what I was
trying to avoid. No, I'm glad that you went to the side. You went to the side like it was a dance move, like you'd had a choreographer in. Like, it's like halftime entertainment at the Super Bowl.
Like one of those TikTokers who do that, which
it
I
was.
Still...
It was like a move. It was like you were, are we dabbing now?
Yeah, I know, I know, Amy, one of your favorite topics is how I don't understand like any youth culture, but like I still don't get what TikTok dances
what do you
are
mean?
All about.
They like dance when, on TikTok.
But is it a language? Like, what are they communicating with the dance?
What do you mean? They're like, dancing.
But is it? So when they dance.
Oh, you say there's like, is there a message
yes,
to the dance?
Yes, other people watching the dance, yeah, the it's message, like sign language
the message
or
of the dance is, I've seen some other people do this dance, now I'm doing the dance.
Okay, so when you see like someone.
Oh, we've invented a dance and we're trying to get other people to do our dance.
But when you see someone like.
By the way, I don't know. I'm right. Wildly speculating.
Well, Amy,
as
feel
well.
Free to chime in at any point. But when you see someone like, it's like a teenage girl.
I was going to say, it would be a wild tactic to start introducing subliminal messages into the dances themselves.
Well, isn't, but like you'll see, like I've seen TikToks.
I think that's what the Chinese are doing, right? Are we right, guys? Come on.
Yeah.
Wake up, Sheeple.
But when you see like it's a teenage girl and she's crying and there's captions about like, you know, I just get so lonely and she's like doing hot potato and all this kind of stuff.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Is the dance.
Still third. Are you thinking that's a signal?
Yeah.
I'm trapped against my will. Please help me.
Well, that's what I want. I honestly, is it interpretive dance? Is it some kind of
dances? Like, not all dancers have to have a message. You're getting confused about the YMCA.
Yeah.
Okay. They're not all like the YMCA.
So she's just expressing her her sadness or whatever through just interpret, like, whatever movement. But it's not coded. I'm not meant to be going, oh.
Are you not familiar with the concept of dancing?
No, I am, but like dancing.
This is what all dancing is.
Well,
all dancing is coordinated movement in the, like, did you watch Lord of the Dance and go, oh, what's the message?
I just assumed, though, that like, because they all look quite similar in what the people are doing.
Yeah.
Like,
well, they're all copying each other. There's certain like styles or choreography. Like when I see a lot of what I see when I see TikTok dancing, it's in the wild because I'm not on TikTok.
Yeah, right. And so you'll see like,
what I learned about TikTok this week is that even if someone sends you like a link to a TikTok, if you're not on TikTok, you can't watch the TikTok, right?
We know we have a TikTok, Toe Fop.
No, I have no idea.
It was being updated at one point. I don't know if it's been updated.
Well, I've never been on TikTok, but I've seen news reports about TikTok where they link to a TikTok. So I understand the concept of a TikTok. And when I'm in the wild, particularly walking through Sydney, through Darling Harbour, through that precinct by the ICC, where they've now put that giant mirrored wall, you know, so they've put like a reflective wall that goes for like 500 metres. And the purpose of that is so everyone can set up their cameras and see themselves in the reflection and do their TikTok dances.
Right,
so there are crews, like I'm talking probably most nights there are hundreds of teenagers all in their own individual crews.
Okay.
Like, you know, side by side doing their own curry. Yeah, but doing their own. Like, so they all work it out together.
Yeah, yeah. It's
and then they do their little curry. And then, but other people are doing a different curry.
I was having a conversation with a friend last night at dinner. That classic sort of like Gen X boomer conversation about, you know, kids these days have got no resilience and kids these days, you know, they just can't take criticism, all this kind of stuff. And I was defending the kids saying, because I don't understand, but I imagine the pressure that we sort of dealt with as teenagers, or the things that we were worried about and the things that, you know, that we felt were real hardships have changed.
Of course.
We look at, because I was saying to him, well, what about things like cyberbullying and things like that, which we never had to deal with? It's like, isn't that the hardship and the stuff that they're dealing with? Maybe that's far more traumatic than the kind of bullying that we dealt with. Like maybe, you know, do you know what I mean?
I remember when the internet first came along, the first time that someone wrote something mean about you, like had to stay in bed for a week, you know what I mean? Like, and I was an adult when that happened, you know? A resilience.
Yeah.
What was my resilience like when somebody on some blog spot, like, wrote a mean comment about my
Dill
show?
Anderson.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's like,
like, they've been raised
insult.
With this brainwashing machine that constantly is feeding them negative information about themselves, about their body image, about the world, about, you know, the future, like, and run by like enormous brainwashing corporations and their kids. Resilience. I think these kids are absolutely resilient, particularly in a world where, like, you know, I mean, again, like, we're of the generation that luckily enough have been able to afford still to maybe purchase a house or whatever. We're still of a generation where, like, yes, it's been a struggle for our generation, but it was still something that most people of our age have reasonably expected at some stage in their life. They're like, I could probably still buy a house. Whatever I do. Like, I tell dick jokes for a living and you pretend to be other people. And we've both at some stage in our house bought a house. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it was a reasonable expectation.
Yeah.
Like, whereas, like, I don't think for today's generation, even if you're going to be super successful, the idea that you could say buy a house or do any of these things that we took for granted, resilience? I think the kids are resilient.
I was thinking about that house ownership thing the other day because I was talking to my friend who he's got two daughters who are leaving high school now. And so he's got his house and then they bought an investment property like 20 years ago. And I was saying, are you ever going to sell that? And he's like, no, like I need to hang on to that for my girls because they're never going to be able to afford a house. And so
because of people like me holding on to those for my girls.
Exactly. But that's what I was thinking. It's like, oh, this is what's happened is now boomers and Gen X or people who property owners who have investment properties, they're all like, oh, well, if I have kids, I need to hang on. I can't sell these.
Of course.
I'm not going to release in this market to ease the housing crisis because who's going to look after my kids? And it's just made us all very insular. And it's like, oh, we just protect our own. We protect our own.
Well, this is the problem, though. Once you get involved and you have some stakes in the game, it's a lot harder to, you know, willingly sacrifice those stakes in the game.
Because it directly affects your family and your kids.
I mean, it's like private school, right? Like, it's one of those things where if you want to send your kids to private school and you, like, can afford to do that, sure, that's fine. Okay, understand that. But then, of course, there becomes this lobbying, like, I pay my taxes. We should get the same fees to our private schools as they get to the public schools as well. And so then suddenly the private schools are so far ahead of everywhere else. You've run down the public schools so much that no one who's got their kids at a private school is going, no, I should send my kids to public school anymore, right? Because you've ruined the whole system. The system's fucked now.
Yeah, it's, oh, man.
I mean, this is not really what we were.
Let's talk about jokes. We'll talk about good things. We're recording this the day after our second live show in Melbourne, and it went really well. Like, it was so much fun, sold out. Which was a nice feeling, well in advance. And we had Bron Lewis and Sam Peterson.
Who were both fantastic.
Your two drunk aunties.
Yes. And great podcast too, by the way. And there was even
their audience.
A few of their audience
I think
who
that's
came
the
along
key, right?
to the show, right?
That's the sellout. But we didn't really announce them.
No, right.
So until they must have got in the very last minute.
The very last minute. But I think I said to Sam when we had about 10 tickets left and then maybe we had like a couple up our sleeve of comps and whatever that if you want to let, you know, your pals know, and they came out. Good on them. So a big salute to their audience as well.
There's a great vibe in the room though. Like, yeah. I mean, it was probably only 10, 15 more people than the last show, but it was, the energy was like really different. It just felt like a real fun kind of boisterous show.
Well, the weird thing to me, and like in a good way, like was we, I mean, we've talked somewhat about this on the, like, you know, classic TOEFOP, have all our
strap yourselves
on
in. Yeah. We're about to analyze what is TOEFOP.
I mean, Charlie and I had an actual proper like business meeting with Amy and like, you know, some of the people here at Listener, like scheduled last week. And then anyway, we missed it. And so now we're having our meeting on air. Okay. This is typical TOEFOP style. We missed the official meeting where we could talk.
Wrong,
about, yeah.
Which is crazy.
I was like only half an hour.
I was a day out. It's not my fault though. It's my computer's fault. I rely on getting my reminder notifications, but for whatever, I've just had my computer and my phone serviced at the same time, and I think it's just completely fucked. Whatever settings I have.
My schedule is just so chockers that
you barely had that was the one window, and we missed it. Well, it's like Haley's Comet.
The truth is, I don't think I had a window for the time the meeting actually was on. I only had a window for the meeting time. I thought the meeting was on in my head. But, so we've talked a little bit about this on the show, but one of the things that you and I talked about when we started out doing this version of like doing some live shows was, can we do something that is more like the podcast, that instead of doing a big live show that is different to the thing that people listen to most weeks, can we actually replicate something that is much more like this? But because this is a free-form conversation where we never plan anything and we come into it, that is quite a terrifying thing to take to a room or take to an audience and say,
Come listen to a conversation. Yeah. Yeah.
And we're going to just pull a thread and see what unravels, and hopefully trust us that it will go to somewhere interesting. Mm. And, or it might go to a bunch of different places, or it might not have any consistent theme throughout it. And so there's always we always felt like we had to add bells and whistles in case us just having a chat with each other wasn't enough.
When you're asking people to pay money to leave their homes to come see a show, you feel an obligation to deliver them something that justifies, you know, that expense and their time. But I think where we're sort of getting closer to is, oh, I know this is what people are paying to see. And the feedback we're getting from you guys tends to be, oh, this is what we want. Like, we like listening to the show and we want a version of that live on stage. Obviously, it's not going to be exactly the same.
I mean, this still is. But what I loved about yesterday was that it really felt like, and for people who obviously haven't heard the episode yet, but Charlie discovers some, when Facebook, you first joined Facebook in 2008, your status updates from the time, and you decide to read some of them out.
Yeah.
And it's just
like my journal. It's like my journal from 2008.
And it's what we just would do on an average episode of this. But it just felt like then we just had two guests who joined in on that.
Yeah.
And I thought that one of all the ones that we've done, like, was the closest so far to us just going, yes, this is like an episode of TOEFOP live on stage. So I really enjoyed it.
A lot of audience members were like, you're so brave, you're so brave. But it was funny, like, because the idea came to me when I was sort of, I had a different plan for what I wanted to do at the live show. And then I got fed one of those old status updates by Facebook, which is only from like 2012 or 2013. And it was so cringe that I was like, oh God, like, who was that person? And then I was like, oh, I'm just going to go back and see who that person was when Facebook first started. And the visceral reaction I got to reading those posts immediately made me go, oh, that's something that people will want to listen to.
Yes.
Like, I think it's something that people want to hear because it is so bad. And it's,
I mean, there were times where literally, and I mean, there were moments in the room where, like, oh, did we just lose them? And they were like, oh, no, they are just kind of stunned and horrified.
Because it did make me think, we talked last time or a few weeks ago about that episode of Smodcast Emo Kev and how I just love that. And it's where Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier listen to old cassette tapes of, you know, 19-year-old. And I just love the idea of revisiting that person you were, and just being like, who was that? This idea of, you know, you think that the when you think of your life, that it's been a through line, but you could also be viewing it in stages or like constant reinventions, like that you were this person with these views at one point in your life. And even, it doesn't even have to be like, 14 years ago. It can be like 5 years ago. You look back and go, who was that? Why did I have those firmly held beliefs? Sometimes, like, I stopped listening to the show years ago. And I think a lot of it was because in the space of 6 months, I'd listen to something I said and be like, I don't think that anymore. That was a weird thing for me to say. I don't know why I said that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of those undervalued ideas of going, look how far we've come.
Yeah.
It's good.
I mean, I guess
like it's good to go, look how far we come.
You would have that, or any comedian would probably have that in terms of like your shows, right? Like, if you went back through the history of all your shows, there's probably stuff that, you know, you built your ideas or topics you built your show around that maybe you've completely changed on, or.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even there are iconic positions that you thought you like absolutely 100% agreed with. Like, yeah. You know, you're just like.
Free Coney.
I am in. I don't think they ever caught him, did they? They actually free him.
So was it, what was it? Coney, what was it? I can't even remember.
Wasn't it Get Coney?
Oh, Get Coney.
Stop Coney.
Stop Coney.
Catch Coney.
No, see, that's the difference between you and I, Will. I was
Coney 2012.
Coney 2012.
Can someone remind me?
That sounds like Coney was running for President Coney 2012.
What was Coney again?
Well, it also had the big like campaign posters.
Yeah.
He was like a war criminal and there was this whole viral campaign to try and catch him.
But they didn't catch him, did they? I don't think Coney got caught by the Coney 2012.
Let me have a look.
I mean, the guy who started the campaign was caught masturbating in public.
Yeah, like ran down the street. Yeah, running down the street masturbating in public or something.
I mean, what?
Coney was the name of his penis and he freed him. On the streets of San Francisco.
I mean, that's like the milkshake duck of 2012, right? The Coney. That everyone, it was this thing that everyone just caught fire.
Well, I think
we
Coney
all
is like, yeah, everyone was like, we should stop Coney. Coney is, there was all, at the time, because I remember us talking about this on Gruen, and there was, I think, yeah, there's heaps of these warlords in the area. So they kind of just picked like one warlord and kind of then made them at Coney to be out of like, to be the, like the worst of the worst, you know? Whereas Coney was like, yeah, I think that day Coney was being like, whoa, I didn't realize I was like,
I'm trendy.
Yeah, I'm the King Ralph of like evil dictators.
Just a little update for Coney 2024. Yeah. He is apparently still alive.
Yeah, see?
Maybe we.
But no longer considered a significant security risk
well,
to
that's,
Uganda.
Okay, then great. That's good. That's
this is
perfect top territory.
Everyone relax, comes for Coney.
Yeah. Imagine that.
We get Coney.
We're going to get Coney personally. Just me and you over.
What I love is we've just had a conversation about how we just want to simplify it, keep it real. And literally our next idea is, so we fly and we catch Coney.
And so, Amy, I seem to remember there was some kind of ulterior motive by the Coney guy. The guy, so he was like a fundamentalist Christian.
They were religious in some way.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And, but was it?
Let me, I'll look into it.
Look
there was
into
definitely,
it.
I mean, you know, the Wikipedia, we've got the headings reception, positive, negative. Mm-hmm. So it's. You know, I think it's just one of those, it was very viral thing, but I don't know what it actually did and was very criticised for, like the slacktivism, like share the video. Yeah. And then it's like, well, what's that actually doing?
Well, that's exactly what it was. It was the first slacktivism. It was the first, like everybody got mad about it and then really didn't. It was just like, yeah. Cause
I'm
it was
doing
like,
something.
Because it was basically just, post Coney 2012 or whatever, right? Like, which I guess does nothing.
And I am so susceptible to those like slacktivism things. I remember when Game Changers came out, that vegan documentary.
It
was like, veganism is the greatest. And I was like, it is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And then that turned out to be bullshit as well. It's like, oh man,
I'm
such a rube.
Most things that seem too good to believe are too good to believe.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but I want to believe.
I know. Well, that's okay.
It's so easy.
I like that. I like that you want to believe in, you know.
Yeah.
It's good.
Well, I guess maybe it's because of the Catholic upbringing or something like that. Someone offers you easy.
Then that's not good.
Easy solutions.
That's bad, actually. It turns out that need has been created by something horrible.
Well, I think it's more just that you get primed to accept bullshit from a very young age. Like, I was talking to a friend about it last night, about my mother, and I was like, it's kind of weird because her personality and the things that she valued and believed in, a lot of it was very contrary to the Christian faith or, you know, Catholicism. But I think for her, Catholicism wasn't so much about like the religious dogma or even the institution. It was about community, you know, like in terms of she would go to church on a Sunday, her friends would be there, then they could go and, you know, have coffee afterwards, or it was just more about that. But then I remember after she passed away and with my brothers and sisters planning her funeral, and none of us are practicing Catholics, like, you know, 8 kids and none of us, you know, didn't catch on with any of us. That there was this sort of discussions around, well, obviously we're going to give her a Catholic funeral and stuff, but there was all this kind of like really old school, heavy God jargon talk and, you know, the priest. And I remember sort of sitting there going, do we want to do this? Like, I mean, I understand that Mum, you know, was a Catholic and she went to church, but like, I wanted to err more on the family saying things and being more of an honouring her through our point of view as opposed to reading passages from the Bible. But my family seemed to kind of just, I think it was, you know, because they wanted to honour what Mum's wishes would have been. But it was almost like this kind of Pavlovian response. Like from a young age, you were taught these rituals and these ways of thinking that, you know, a priest comes in who I didn't even know, but he starts talking about, well, this is the way you structure a funeral service and we'll do a reading from this book and blah, 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 blah. And everyone's like sitting there. And I was like, do we have to do this thing? Like, we're grown-ups now. We don't have to be told how to do this. And, you know, in the end, we sort of reached a sort of compromise where I sort of insisted that I want to get up and say something. I don't want it to all be like just reading from an ancient book. But I do think that there is that, I mean, that's, I don't want to say it's insidious, because that's not the right, I think that's too harsh a word, but there is this programming that happens with this stuff where I do think it does make you more susceptible to compliance or authoritarianism. Is it's like, well, you just, where's the authority figure? What are the rules? And we'll follow all along with that.
Well, I mean, yes, but that's every version of everything. Like, basically, it's the moment where, like, parents decide that their kids won't just do what they say.
Yeah.
And they need to make up something, like a person in the sky or a Santa Claus or an Easter Bunny or whatever it might be, to get them to do whatever it is that they need them to do, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that just been happening forever?
I guess so. Like, but if you look at every major religion, they are all sort of built around the same basic kind of belief system, which is all quite honourable, which is like just be nice to each other and don't.
Yeah, but a lot of it's also don't masturbate. Like, yeah, that's got to out of like teenage boys who are like.
but that's not the religion. That's normally the institution. The text, you know, that's associated with institution, which has been written by some fucking weirdo who
where it says don't plant a seed, that says don't touch yourself.
I've interpreted
that as don't touch your dick.
Yeah, so I think it does get corrupted, but it is. I always like watch those documentaries on cults or whatever, and I'm like, oh, like how do people fall into line with these? Some people, some cult leaders aren't even that like charismatic. They are weird more than anything.
I think that because you look at somebody like a Russell Brand, who clearly wants to be a cult leader and in a way kind of has become a cult leader. And he looks like a cult leader out of central casting of what you would cast your cult leader to look like and act like.
Robes, beard.
But then, yes, when you see like a Nexium documentary or whatever it might be, you're like, oh, this is like, I don't know if I'd talk to that guy if he was at a party I was at.
Years ago, like when I was just out of uni, I was working for this multimedia company and they...
Pyramid scheme?
Well, there was this... I don't know, they're like an investment company or whatever, that they wanted us to make some marketing materials for them. And so we went and had this meeting. This guy's name was Henry Kay, who I think has gone on to be jailed for like, you know, misuse of funds and, you know, unsecured loans and all this kind of stuff. But he was this property investor, get rich quick. you know, who'd do 3-day seminars where you'd come in and he'd tell you how to invest in property and blah, blah, blah. And so I remember me and my friend whose company it was, the multimedia company, we went along and we sort of sat through the seminars. And the whole time I'm like, this seems like utter bullshit. Like it's a get rich quick scheme. And everyone who worked at this company, like I remember, because we sat down and we discussed, okay, so you want us to produce, you know, these DVDs and this material for you. Well, this is the rates, this is our fees. And they're like, okay, yeah, we could pay you that, or we could give you equity in the company. We could give you these shares.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I remember we were sort of sitting there going, no, no, we want to get paid.
Yeah.
But
we could give you money, but we've got something even better. These rocks that we've painted smiley faces on.
But that's what it was like. But the thing that really struck me was that, like, his second in command, who was the one who was sort of negotiating the deal, he was like, you know, I've got like shares. And he was really like upselling us on it. And I was, and this is before we'd even met like Henry Kay. And I was like, oh, well, he must be like so charismatic. And then he came in and he was this weird little dude who had like a lazy eye. And like, it was quite disconcerting talking to him because you're like, which eye am I looking at? And I was like, but how has this dude commanded all this? Like, people were paying thousands of dollars to go to these seminars. And it was not like he was particularly charismatic or interesting or even the stuff he was saying. And I don't know anything about property investment.
I think that if he would like be too slick in that circumstance, though, I think that would be almost
a red flag.
Yeah. Like you get some slick guy in suddenly pitching you on like, you know, some sort of, you're like, oh, this is a pyramids game. Whereas if you get some guy who's like, you know, maybe looks a little more down to earth, like he's actually just like, oh, no, this is like a nerdy guy who's like, you know, come up with this thing and he's trying to get other people involved. He looks a little bit more like me.
Like me.
Right?
Yeah. But I guess, I mean, this would have been in pre-social media era, so it was maybe less easy to verify what he's talking about, or you can't do like a Google search, but I mean, Google search now is a fucked anyway.
No, right? And now we're back to when you can't do a Google search. Remember that like sweet 15 years where you could do a Google search?
it's strange though, right? Like what it made me realize though is people want a messiah. They want someone to be offering them the solution. Is this
And so we're saying it's Coney, right?
Well, I think so. We free Coney. We free Coney so he can re-offend so then we can stop Coney.
By the way, as we found out, Coney is still at large, so he has not been caught. But if we start a campaign to free Coney, I think that'll really confuse the shit out of people. In fact, it might confuse Coney so much that he hands himself in to go, like, I'm here. Like, I'm not
free,
and
I think.
And then we're like, gotcha. Got him. We got Coney.
Oh, did any media organization actually ever contact Coney or interview Coney, or were there any statements from Coney himself?
Ginuwine wrote that song, Coney, about
my cone, climb on it.
Not that I can see. I mean, it's possible, but it seems like he's just had been on the run because part of the controversy was by the time that video came out, he actually wasn't even in Uganda anymore.
Oh.
Like, he'd already fled the country. So it was kind of misleading.
Okay,
video.
So they were saying,
surprisingly enough, a Western produced video
about Uganda,
about a complicated conflict in Uganda.
It was
really oversimplifying everything.
Right, interesting. Well, we could do that. We could absolutely oversimplify something.
Well, that's all we can do.
Yeah. I mean, this
we're not getting into the complex.
No. And now we don't have to go to Uganda.
So
where do we reckon Coney is? Is there any suspicion?
Are you guys suggesting that we get the scoop and I maybe just send out an email and just say, I want to sit down for an hour chat?
Oh, yes. Coney.
Yeah, you were asking the other day, who do I want for TOEFL with friends?
Coney. Why don't you do a dictator series? See if you can get warlords, like a range of warlords.
I mean,
finally, a chat with Coney. Coney reflects on the whole Coney 2012 controversy.
That'd be great.
Coney spills all.
I mean, I just love
Coney breaks his silence.
Yeah, I just love to see like when we release the video clips online to promote the episode, and he's sitting there in his living room. He doesn't have his camera pointed up right. He's got his headphones on.
No, it turns out he
wouldn't have headphones on.
Oh yeah, that's right. It would just be room echo.
No, I reckon he'd be better. He'd be the opposite. Coney's like full decked out.
He's got his own podcasting studio. and subscribe.
He's got the Tesla, the what's his name? Elon Musk space internet.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's like, I reckon he's like Twitch.
Is Twitch a Twitch alive. Streamer? After this, he's watching play some video games. Going to play Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, he's just got Zelda, so anyway.
I mean, we say that as if I have any idea what Twitch is.
Oh, no, these are just words. I'm just throwing out words.
Yeah, words that we hear. I mean, I remember Osher said to me a few years ago, he's like, you know what you and Will should do? He's going, you should just like start a Twitch.
Yeah.
Because you guys could do the show and then people could just like, you know, live comment and send you money and all that kind of stuff. Because do you know that that's how like one a feature of Twitch? Like, so people subscribe to your Twitch and then as you're broadcasting, if you say something that they like, they can tip you. So you get like, oh, $5 gets chucked into your Twitch. Well, you don't think that sounds appealing?
No.
Why not?
Because then it like suddenly you're at the beck and call of an audience like immediately to like, if you say, you know what, I reckon Coney had some great ideas, and suddenly $15 comes in.
Oh, shit.
You know, suddenly, like, you know, you've been bought off quite cheaply.
By a warlord.
And then you're like,
it's his $15.
So then you're like, well, maybe I should say some more nice things about Coney.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Amy, do you Twitch or do you follow any Twitch streamers?
Not live. I never really watch live Twitch streams,
but either.
I sort of follow a few people and watch their clips, like Tom Walker or Limmy.
Yeah. Hassan Piker. I watch his, uploads Twitch streams to YouTube. He's more of like a lefty sort of political commentator. From what I understand, and I think he's one of the biggest ones, especially sort of on the left, but watching him do his streams, like he talks nonstop. It's like a real skill to sort of like, you know, just talk on his own. But then he's also interacting with these comments that are sort of flying in the chat. Like he's responding to people, but like in an instant, and it seems exhausting. Like I can barely read an email. Like when it gets sent in, the fact that, you know, you can be talking and then glance down and see someone's like commented on something you've just said, and then you respond to that and then get back at like, that seems a lot of work.
I think there is a part of my brain, and I've been reading Danny Wallace's latest book, which is called Somebody Told Me, I think. And it's about conspiracy.
You had a boyfriend?
It's about conspiracy theories, rabbit holes and those sort of things. And it's great. It's really good. But one of the things he talks about is Alex Jones and, you know, what do you call them? What are the crisis actors and, all that sort of, you know, the Sandy Hook stuff and everything that happened. But he's just talking about what that Alex Jones model is, which is a bit like that. It was him kind of like then reading comments or like whatever and then just like teeing off and going on these rants and editorials. And there was part of me in my head, I was like, I think there's probably a part of my skill set or brain that I've developed doing other things, you know, my improvised shows, like doing my media work, whatever, that if I wanted to do something like that, I think that I could. Because sometimes I'm like
a fist of it.
Yeah. Sometimes like when I listen to footy commentary, like I've got friends who are footy commentators, I go, could I be a footy commentator? And I don't think I could. I'm not good at remembering numbers, players, like being able to call something in that moment. That's not a skill that I think, even if I sat down and decided I wanted to do that, I think. But whereas if I decided I wanted to be like,
just rant.
Yeah. To like have a Twitch stream where people and I just like rant on and like bounce off the comments. I think that I probably could do that. I'm not saying I want to do that.
Have you ever heard?
But I think I could
listen to Bill Burr's podcast.
I have,
and so
which is a bit like that.
Yeah, so yeah. But he doesn't really rant. I mean, I find that really like an interesting podcast to listen to. The pace is a lot different, but he obviously gets these thoughts of these things he wants to talk about, whether it's a show he's just seen or whatever, and then you hear him kind of work his way through that. But then that is different to the high energy, you know, there's a conspiracy, buy my supplements kind of approach.
Yeah,
of like
I mean, I don't think I have that energy level.
No. I can reckon you could probably do a solo. Actually, I shouldn't talk myself out of a job.
Solo podcast.
I think what's holding you back, Will, is that you have a co-host.
No, you do the majority of the work. So, like, if I was left to have to do it myself, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think I could. I remember when I was at Triple J and I was just doing little guesties on people's shows and occasionally working the reception desk. I did a couple of, what are they called, air checks, where you you practice being on air. And I remember, I can't remember who was the person who was helping me do it, but they were like, oh, so the best thing to do is when you get in there is you're not talking to an audience, you're talking to someone else. Like, put someone in the studio with you. And I found it like so, like, I remember like just turning the mic on and like, I have nothing to say to this invisible person sitting across from me. I couldn't get my head around, who am I talking to? Like, I couldn't complete the thought. It just, I didn't know how to end this kind of conversation where I didn't have someone to bounce off. I don't think I would be any good at that.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever done, like, because again, you think about these radio people who, like, you know, your talkback radio hosts or whatever, who are just literally in the chair every day, going through the paper, having a producer, having something in their ear, like something comes up on the screen, they take a call. There is an element of that that I, like, think, oh, yeah, yeah. I think, you know what I think it is, honestly, because I have thought about it a bit over the years, which is, I think I'd probably be quite good at that. The thing that I would, that has always stopped me from pursuing it is, I think that's not a very good thing for you. I think it's very hard not to be, like, become like bananas from doing that, I think. Like,
in,
you know,
to way?
Just be, well, to be constantly only hearing your own voice or everything being through your prism. Like, particularly to be at the heart of one of those shows, your editorial voice, you can't be as curious, right? Mm. You have to have some sort of position to get through things.
That's,
whereas, like,
right, yeah. And I think that's my problem, is that I don't trust my own opinion on anything.
Yeah. Like, I think as I've got older, I trust my own less and less.
Right.
You know, I really do feel like I'd rather ask, like, you know.
It is interesting, Dean, that same conversation I was having with my friend who was like, kids aren't resilient. I was thinking back, like, to, you know, your 20s and this idea that you sort of are so passionate about things, you know, like the bands you love, yes, and the movies you love.
The friends you have.
The friends you have. And everything is so like, oh, yes, God, like, it's, you know. And then
this is the best.
And then the older you get, the sort of, you ease up on that. Mm. But I think you're right. It's more, I just have more doubts about things, uncertainties.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's also because I think you go through that period of the dreams and hopes and aspirations you have maybe don't pan out the way you want, not necessarily in a negative sense. It's just that, you know, you thought life was going to be a certain way and then it goes in a certain direction. So how can you be certain of anything anymore? You know what I mean? Like, if you're someone whose life in your 20s, like, worked out exactly what you dreamed, like you're at high school and you wanted to be a professional athlete or whatever it is, and then you're doing that, does that then kind of ruin you for the next stage of your life when that particular chapter of your career or, you know, your journey ends and you have to take up something else that doesn't go the way you thought? Like, I've always said about, you know, child actors, I don't think I would never actively push Iona into being an actor or a performer or anything like that, because I think that being on set naturally inverts the way society is structured, the hierarchy of, you know, you listen to grown-ups and all this kind of stuff. Because all of a sudden, you know, there's a 15-year-old and they've got a PA who's bringing them a bottle of water and holding an umbrella over their head and driving them places and stuff. And I think that could be very confusing for a kid. It's like, oh, well, I'm very important and this is the way the world is. And then they leave that environment and then it's like, no, that's not the way the world is. You,
well,
are not more important than other people.
I think when you're a
people.
Kid, you think you're more important than other people. Anyway, that's part of just being young.
Really?
Like, well, I mean, just to kind of, as in, you probably only consider your own needs.
You're more self-centered.
Yes. Yeah, first and foremost.
But to get
right?
that validated by adults who you.
Well, that's what I mean. There's that classic cliche of, you know, I wish I was a teenager again when I knew everything, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, because you do. You suddenly have your own ideas and you, like, in your brain, they're also certain and, like, you know, you believe things very strongly and things are black and white. But also, you haven't. Somebody was saying to me the other day, they say, my favorite biscuit is a chocolate Tim Tam. And I'm just like, you're just a person who doesn't eat a lot of biscuits. Because if you eat a lot of biscuits, after a while you realize that, yeah, so chocolate Tim Tam is fine if you've never tried any other biscuits. But there are better biscuits than a chocolate Tim Tam, right?
I don't know that there are.
Well, so you don't eat a lot of biscuits either.
I eat a lot of biscuits.
No, you eat like some fucking muck that you biscuit shape.
Can I tell you my latest one? My latest one that's been rejected by Iona in my endless pursuit to create healthy treats. So I found this, I was like, I can't make her the traditional Anzac, too much butter, too much sugar.
Yeah.
I tried to make her a less Anzac-y one. She rejected that. And then I came across this recipe that was like, basically you swap out the butter for coconut oil.
Yep.
And you swap out the sugar for maple syrup.
And you swap out the oats for dirt.
Everything else pretty, everything else pretty much stays the same.
So,
and,
yes. So what do we got? We got coconut.
So coconut instead of butter, maple syrup instead of sugar.
Maple syrup instead
and
of sugar.
Okay. Admittedly, right. These things are not like, it's not like gigantic.
Don't know if we should have got the benefits. Canadians and the Hawaiians involved with the Anzacs, but sure, all right, whatever.
But like even in terms of health benefits, it's not like a huge difference, but just a slightly
just
bit
enough
better.
To make it not taste as good.
But the secret ingredient is tahini. So you put in like a third of a cup of tahini to mix with the oats. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is, it's delicious and it's crispy and it tastes like a cookie, and to
that's a United Nations cookie. That's not like an Anzac.
It's the UN. It's the Benetton. Flavors of Benetton.
Exactly.
But to even like sweeten the deal, I said I'll chuck in some choc chips, like some dark chocolate chips as well. Mm-hmm. And Iona, like I served it up to her, and her response is, "Needs sugar.
Yeah,
not sweet enough." And I was like, oh, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was like I really liked the sort of sesame flavor of the tahini, and I thought there was enough sweetness in the maple syrup.
Yep,
and
what kids traditionally love, the sesame taste of tahini.
Tahini is a good, like, ingredient.
Yes, adult. You're right.
My nose started leaking and I realized we don't have any tissues in here.
No, we don't have any tissues in here.
I'm just not used to the cold in Melbourne. But I know I'm a real, I love a biscuit, I love a cookie, and I'm telling you right now that Tim Tams are definitely like in my top three. Yeah. Just a traditional one. Like I know we've had the Jats.
But this is what I mean. Like they're fine. But if you're eating a lot of biscuits, you're going to get sick of a Tim Tam pretty quick. Like a Tim Tam is a good biscuit for people who have like two biscuits a week.
But do you have a top five?
I mean, the Tim Tam wouldn't get in the fucking conversation.
No fucking way. Really?
Yeah, Tim Tam
is
like...
It's an Australian institution.
Yeah, it's a great biscuit for people that don't have a passion for biscuits.
So are you saying
in
it's
the same way as someone says, I like music, I like Taylor Swift. Yeah, great, good on you.
You're saying it's the Toyota Corolla.
I'm not saying Taylor Swift's not a great artist. I'm just saying it's not a particularly, like...
Well, no, so what you're being is like, it's too mainstream. Like, you like underground biscuits.
That is true. I do
like... You like going to some niche bakery it's a red velvet and cranberry cookie.
You're right. I don't like this cookie cutter approach to cookies. It's true. That is actually, you've identified...
You like bespoke biscuits.
I like a bespoke biscuit.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But then, so is there a...
I would like in order, home cooked, 100%, okay. My top biscuit.
But like what?
Any type of home cooked biscuit is ahead of pretty much any other biscuit as far as I'm concerned. Like a home baked biscuit, just there's something about...
Yeah.
And I'm not even, like, so then
misshapen.
Misshapen.
Yeah, I agree.
The right amount of, so there is a lovely person at our work who every week for our meetings brings in a home cooked, like, you know, so it'll just be like, it's lemon slice this week, or it's like, it's a white chocolate brownie, or it's a raspberry coconut slice, or it's like whatever, just like a selection of little slices every week, right? And the other day it was like a passion fruit lemon curd thing, like, but every week just a home cooked thing, right size, like a little square, you know, like a little square size, like a more, not your sort of like, because this is the problem with your artisanal cookie, you're like your specials cookie. So once you then suddenly it's like a meal. Like, you know, you're buying like a pizza sized cookie, right? Mm. They're delicious, but that's like, I like a little sort of like more bite size, like smaller serving size when it comes to so that I can have more, I think.
Right. So do you like those little, you know, the Byron Bay cookies where they come in the small bag?
Yeah. I mean, if I was going to go a Byron Bay cookie, which fits somewhere between the artisanal and mass produced, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like they're
it's a mass produced artisanal cookie.
Yeah. So your Byron Bay Cookie Company cookie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have the small ones over the bigger one. Yeah. If that's like that's a side to side.
I think the opposite. I love going to a bakery, like an old school suburban bakery, and they do giant biscuits.
Yeah.
That makes me excited. Like if it's a giant chocolate chip or a giant Anzac or whatever. But I feel like Tim Tams to me, they still feel kind of like it's special.
Don't get me wrong.
We didn't get chocolate biscuits growing up. So.
I love a Tim Tam, but I think a Tim Tam, like I'm as equally as delighted to see any chocolate biscuit as I am to see a Tim Tam.
To be honest.
You ever had a chocolate coated Scotch Finger biscuit?
Yeah. Oh, that's.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's just good. Immediate. That's the first one that comes to mind.
Even a chocolate teddy bear biscuit.
Yeah, chocolate teddy bear.
TV snacks.
TV snacks.
Underrated.
The entire range of TV snacks are all chocolate-coated biscuits, right?
They're really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're sort of talking about the mint slice.
Yes.
I held above all chocolate biscuits for a while, but I don't know, something happened.
Can't have too many of them, though. That's the mint slices problem. You can eat, like, only a limited amount of mint slice.
Why is that?
Don't know, but it just... These are my
these are my cookies. My tendencies. ABCs of me, baby. Man,
there is no
always bite cookies.
No
ABC.
Rhyme or reason behind anything that I'm saying, but like I could talk about biscuits all day long. Like
yeah, I mean I must admit, like if I want to kind of like I do have fantasies of clearing out the biscuit aisle of like a supermarket and just trying all of them. Like if I think. Of all the sort of treats I like, even this is including donuts, but like biscuits is where it's at. Like I think that, you know, if I was had like any limited time left, it was like my final meal, I would say, can you just go down the aisle of like a supermarket and just get me one packet of every sweet biscuit and I'm going to just eat them as many as I can.
Do you remember back in the day,
Wagon Wheels,
I don't know if they still do it, but if you would go to the big...
breakaways.
I'm with you, man. Like
I want to try the chocolate covered Oreo. I'm a bit scared. I love an Oreo. I mean, I know that's if Tim Tams are the Taylor Swift, then Oreos are going to be like what the like
Ed Sheeran.
But they get it the formula really right. Like this is the thing. I don't know what is about Oreos, but. Because Australia has their knockoff version when you get in the family assorted, which is the chocolate biscuit with the white cream. It's not as good for some reason.
It's nowhere near as good.
Why is that?
Don't know.
Sugar.
I mean, I assume so, like some sort of processing in the system. But
when I used to stay at your place in LA, you remember there was that service station near your street and they would sell this little bag of mini Oreos. And that was my reward at the end of a week. If I'd done a lot of writing or whatever, if I'd worked enough, I would take myself down the street and I would buy from the service station a little pack of mini Oreos. And then I would sit on your couch and watch like a movie or something and eat those Oreos. And honestly, never been happier.
There's been two, like when we're talking mass produced cookies at the moment, there's been two recently that have been in my roster, which is so at work they started in my like rider. They would just leave me like with my coffee a few like traditional Biscoff biscuits, like so the original form.
Don't get the Biscoff craze. When did that become like the thing?
About two or three years ago, it started to come in. And then, well, I'm a Biscoff fan, but like I'm more your sort of like Biscoff sauce melt, like mashed Biscoff, like Biscoff paste. But it turns out it's all based on a biscuit. Charlie.
Yeah.
The Biscoff. It's half biscuit, half coffee. Biscoff. So.
Oh my God. I never realized that's right. Okay.
I did some research around Biscoff, but they've started leaving those. And at the start, I was a bit like, now this is a bit plain, but I've got into it. But then I've discovered there is a.
Sorry, I'm not over the Biscoff thing yet. Like, I honestly thought it was some Italian Biscoff.
It's
fancy.
It's the Netherlands or somewhere. It's
man. Because it just suddenly
it's one of the Scandinavian
countries. Nowhere, and then it was everywhere.
Yeah,
and like
it's been around for 50 years,
but it's super popular
now. They recently made it into like a paste, like a Nutella style paste.
Yes, that's right.
Paste.
Yeah,
it was just the biscuit, the plain old, like, you know, a biscuit that you have with your coffee, but as it turns out. And then they will crush it, and now they've made it into like a
that syrupy,
sweet paste, and like it will be used as a sauce.
Every dessert porn I get fed on Instagram, every second one is a Biscoff variation. It's Biscoff Sunday, or it's a Biscoff this, or a Biscoff that. And it's like, how did they suddenly just insert themselves? They're the Coney of biscuits.
Last year at work, there was they were bringing in for a while, which they've stopped this year, which I'm disappointed about. But there was like essentially, it looked like a caramel slice, but instead of the bit in the middle that would be caramel, it was Biscoff.
Yeah.
And it was one of the tastiest things I've ever had in my entire life. In fact, I ate so many of them, that's probably the reason they don't bring them in anymore. But so now they just bring in the plain Biscoff biscuits.
Yeah.
I've got a bit of a taste for those. At my local, like, servo, they have two. Okay, so these are the two that I've been doing recently, which is round Biscoff biscuits with the Biscoff, like,
cream
in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, beautiful. Like an orange cream, but just all Biscoff. Biscoff on Biscoff.
Double Biscoff.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Triple Biscoff, really, because you've got two biscuits. It's a little Biscoff sandwich in Biscoff.
Right.
Yeah, it's like when KFC puts out a burger, but the burger is just more chicken.
More chicken.
And then Nutella have made a biscuit. Have you seen these? So they're like a plain biscuit on the outside, but like filled with Nutella on the inside.
Dips, the ones where you get the little bread sticks.
But this is like just like a traditional biscuit with the cream, like a cream-filled biscuit. But instead, it's just like the cookie on the outside and like Nutella on the inside.
And so when you're eating a cream biscuit, is your technique to separate?
Yeah.
Separate. Because what I'll do, and I'll separate. I like to taste the one side on its own, no icing.
Yeah.
And then
build up to the treat.
Yeah. Well, not build up to the treat. No, I like biscuit and icing on one hand and just plain biscuit on the other.
A little bit of both.
I never eat the icing on its own. I think that's gross.
Nah.
People who lick the cream out is like, ugh. I remember there was a girl at my primary school who used to get a vanilla slice, and it like scarred me. She'd get it and she'd squish it down till all the custard came out the edges, and then she would lick like all the custard off the edges and then just eat the sugar-covered pastry. And I used to watch it with this like morbid fascination. It was like watching, you know, you watch a National Geographic thing. It's like this snake eating a...
Look how they eat.
Yeah, it's gross. Like it's so disgusting, but I can't look away. So from then on, I'm like, you can't suck the filling out of something. It's just uncouth.
I mean, I think when I was younger, I was probably like would take the filling or the icing or whatever out. But like I think... As an adult, I've become much more – no, actually, you know what? I would say for most of my adulthood, I still ate things in pieces. Like, you know, so if something came out, I would eat. Like, whereas I think in the last 5 to 10 years only, I've become a sort of, no, I'm going to try to taste this as it's meant to be.
All like, at once.
Yes, so all at once.
Eat it together.
Yeah, so I'm a eat it together person now.
I think that's fair. I think if you're going through a packet of biscuits, though, you can do all of it, right? Yeah. It's like the Kama Sutra.
No one can tell you what to do.
It's like, I'm going to do all positions. We're going to eat these biscuits in every facet. Like my biggest indulgence, if I'm really like, just going to bust it out, is I don't even know what they're called, but it's the Chocolate Royal, but the one with the jam.
Yeah.
And so
Dodger? Is that a Jammy Dodger? That's the plain one with the
Not Jam Fancy. What
jam,
are they called?
Oh, maybe they're a Jam Fancy.
No, Jam Fancy is just the jam biscuit. It's the Chocolate Royal, but there's under the marshmallow, there's jam.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
That to me is like the height of indulgence. It's kind of like a wagon wheel, but with more marshmallow.
That's a Chocolate Royal, isn't it? Is that what a Chocolate Royal is?
No, Chocolate Royal doesn't have marshmallow. Oh. Amy, could you just search what that biscuit's called? Chocolate Royal.
I'm attempting to find
it. Yeah. And then could you read us all the things that we've asked you to Google? Coney, Chocolate Royal biscuit.
I do have a perfect, there's a website that I discovered with a workmate a couple of years ago that I'm so obsessed with that is a perfect intersection of everything that we've been talking about, which is old internet and biscuits. Which is this website that I discovered once called nicecupoftandasitdown.com. And it's just this anonymous man in England who just reviews biscuits. And it's like an old HTML website. And like, it's just so beautiful. It's just the perfect little time capsule. And sometimes I just go in there and I just look at his reviews of different biscuits.
So there's no video. It's just posts?
No video. Amazing. It's just like a blog text posts. Like this review of the Arnott's Ginger Nut starts with the paragraph, "When the Voyager spacecraft flew by Saturn in the early 1980s, the space scientist gazed upon the images sent back to its icy little moons with names like Mimas, Enceladus, Tethys, Dione, and Rhea. It was the first time any of these little worlds had been anything more than tiny specks of light to human eyes. The scientists eagerly studied the cracks and fissures in the surfaces of these little frozen worlds, trying to piece together their history and composition. I get a similar buzz looking at new ginger."
Oh, yeah.
It does sound.
I mean, that is, to be honest, like we talk a lot about biscuits.
Mm.
I mean, this is the sort of thing we could do as a Twitch stream.
Oh, we just try biscuits.
Just try a biscuit.
Well, biscuit review.
I mean, we've done the Tim Tam. Well, we literally have already done this. How did the Tim Tam video go when we tried Tim Tams?
Well.
Should we, for each of these podcasts, should we be trying a biscuit? Could that be our new thing where we could just like, I mean, you don't want to eat four biscuits in a day.
No, I do.
You do.
Yeah. Because we do it once a month. It's my cheat day.
Yeah. We could literally go and get
Will and Charlie review biscuits.
Like tomorrow, that's not even like, we just do a bit in every episode where like, it's only a bit of the episode where we review a biscuit. We have a biscuit for the episode that we both, and we review it. It can be a bit of social content.
Yeah.
Take it out of the show and we get to eat a biscuit.
There's a supermarket up the road.
Yeah. We could start today.
We could
start next episode. We could get a biscuit.
Yeah.
We could both choose a biscuit.
I mean, we are on a tight schedule. We may have to Uber Eats.
Actually,
can we Uber
point.
Eat someone to biscuits?
Just to go get one biscuit? Could you go and get us two biscuits, please?
I think that's not a bad idea. There is a guy online. I think I've talked about this before.
There's like a healthy cafe downstairs. Like they do biscuits. They'd be like a bit healthy.
Yeah, let's do that.
We could do like, we could start with like a healthy biscuit from the cafe downstairs.
Do they have unhealthy ones? Or is it only healthy?
I mean,
there's a cafe I came to that's just only a block away that we could maybe run off to, and they had unhealthy biscuits there. They had like some choc chips and things like that. Mm. Yeah, I think we should do it. Maybe because we'll take a little break.
Because we could have like because the theme could be ongoing.
Yeah.
Where we just like, because after a while it could just be like a, you know, like we could try a new biscuit. We could, I mean, maybe this is a way for us to finally get some sponsorship.
I'm very excited by this idea.
Like it's natural content.
Yeah.
Like we have done this before.
Yeah, people
talk about
authenticity
a lot.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely on board with that.
Mm.
I think, yeah. All right, so let's. Let's, I'm
what
just,
is
like,
this
in my
podcast?
Head,
what are we doing?
I'm just trying to think about what biscuits we could get, like in the time.
Like, how would we start? Like, I mean, yeah, what do we want to start with?
But people hearing eating.
Well,
on
we don't.
Mic.
I mean, we don't have to eat that much.
Okay, we just take a little taste.
Taste a little taste.
But then, I know what we're like because when I brought those Tim Tams in, we then.
But we're not eating a whole packet.
Back.
Like, we've got to eat. Like, we've got to keep it to one biscuit. That's got to be the rule.
I do know.
It's
got to
be one biscuit.
When we did our Tim Tam episode, the Jats Tim Tam episode, on Patreon, because I went in to sort of chat with some people to see what they thought, and like that caught fire. So many people went out and bought those Tim Tams. People were sharing their photos of.
We could get bought off by Big Biscuit after a while. Do you know what I mean? Like suddenly, like you know,
Arnott's presents.
You know how people
presents
the Weekly Planet. Like they think that they're being paid off by like Marvel whatever to say nice things. We could actually be taking some side money from Arnott's.
Well, I'm always curious too. Like I think, I mean,
actually, you know what? The original Tim Tam is the greatest biscuit.
But I'm also keen to try those knockoff, like the you know the generic brand mint slices.
They do very well online. Like on when a new site will do, we compared the Aldi, you know, blah 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 with the you know, and I mean,
what did Dick Smith call his Tim Tams? Aren't they called Temp Tims or something like that?
Oh, were they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, normally all these things had Dick in them. So get a Dick Tam in your mouth. Enjoying this Dick Tam?
No, Dick, absolutely not. I'm excited by this idea. Yeah, you came up with an idea on the live show as well, which I loved, which is the idea that. You know, because we always joke when we do the live shows, there's always the protests happening on the steps of Parliament. And this time around, they were happening down the other end of the city, down towards Spencer Street.
It's a progressive protest now. They've got like a wheel, they've got like a speaker deck that they wheel around town and like they do their protests like on the road.
Yeah. And so you came up with the idea that maybe that's how we do TOEFOP. Yeah. Like we do it out on
the
street.
Take it out into the wild.
Because who's going to tell the difference? Like, I mean, if you walk past two guys, like on the steps of Parliament, talking about how much they love biscuits, which biscuits
Tim
are good.
Tim Tams are not the greatest. Like,
yelling free Coney.
I mean, if we did viral videos, that I think would definitely be
I think
one.
We have the same train of thought as those street protesters. Like, I actually think we're not that far away from it. You know, like in the.
We get fixated on very, very specific
and
topics.
Then change wildly to what are they talking about now?
I mean, yeah, that I think that's the new path for us is kind of street podcasting and biscuit reviews. Mm. I mean, Amy, I know we missed the meeting on Thursday, but
Yeah, it was biscuits was an agenda item on the for the meeting. And also Charlie, the milk chocolate royals. The Arnott's milk chocolate royals do have a very, very thin little raspberry jam.
Oh, so that is layer. That is chocolate royals.
But it's pretty light on. It's like a big bit of marshmallow and a biscuit and then like a tiny bit of jam.
Yeah, that's
not
that's
like
fine.
Wagon
you don't
wheel,
need to.
Not the same as a wagon
see,
wheel.
See, all right, here's my argument against wagon wheels in the mass-produced form are perfect.
Are they a biscuit?
Yes.
Definitely?
Yeah.
They're not like a chocolate bar?
Oh, no,
wagon
they're, chocolate, they're a chocolate biscuit. A chocolate biscuit. You buy them in
which
the biscuit aisle.
Aisle. Yeah, are they in the biscuit aisle or are they in the chocolate aisle?
Well, they're in both.
They're in the biscuit aisle.
But they're in both.
I keep turning to you, Amy, as if you're sitting behind the control window, but I forget you're in another state. No, they're definitely biscuits. But when you ever you go and get those bespoke wagon wheels from like a, you know, a cake stall or a fancy bakery or whatever, they always get the proportions wrong. Mm. There's too much marshmallow or there's too much jam or they're slathered in chocolate. What? I don't even know who makes wagon wheels, but they have Westerns.
Westerns. Oh, Westerns wagon wheels.
Yeah, they're Arnott's. Mm.
Wagon wheels are Arnott's?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. Arnott's wagon wheel?
There may maybe used to be a different
I think
company,
Arnott's
but maybe Arnott's bought
everything.
Them out.
Okay, well, Arnott's should be definitely
the biscuit
sponsoring.
Monopoly.
No, because we need to be...
Muji, Arnott's, and Fuji
well,
Y.
I just want to...
Muji Fuji. Like by the end of this year, we're going to have definitely identified the brands we feel most passionate about.
Muji, Fuji, and Kuji.
What's Kuji?
I don't know.
Right. Oh, Kuju?
Kuju? No. No, I wasn't thinking of Kuju. I was thinking of like, wasn't there like a fashion brand called Kuji? Kuji? Like
Kujo, the Stephen King book.
No, and Kuji, the suburb of Sydney.
Anyway. Muji, Kuji, and Fuji Water.
All right. Well, can we start this today? That's the question, I guess. Now,
I know, like, there's like a Coles or a Woolworths just up the road. I'm just thinking of like being time efficient. Maybe we just start with the cafe downstairs.
Yes,
we'll finish this episode. We'll grab a healthy biscuit, but that feels like anticlimactic. Right? Are you certain that they don't have other biscuits? Or
I mean, when I say healthy, I think they're like
muesli biscuits, like a breakfast biscuit or something.
I'm like, have some. Like, I mean, I think you'll like it. I think
oat and raisin.
I honestly think they're in the zone of the stuff that you make.
Okay.
Like, there's like a bit of protein. Like,
I know,
kind
but
of
do
like
people want to hear that? People want to hear like they want the good stuff. They don't want like.
I understand that, but I'm just saying convenience. Maybe there's like a vending machine here that has like
fuck that, we're not going in there. Those biscuits are always the worst. The chocolate chip ones you get in the pack, no, they're terrible.
All right.
I refuse.
Okay.
There's certain biscuits I will not eat well.
No, I mean, I'd be happy to share a cafe biscuit because we could just get like a big cafe biscuit, like a, you know, I said I didn't like the big one, but you know, we could have like, and that would limit the amount that we could get like a big cafe biscuit, get a coffee on the break, get a cafe biscuit, have half a cafe and just kick it off. Just get some momentum.
You know what? That's
behind
good.
This
you're
idea. Right,
right. You're right. Okay. All right. Well, before we do that, let's just go to the mailbag. Just want to read this one letter, and then we can wrap this. So, how long have we done, Amy? Just incidentally,
we've hit an hour.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. This is from Marianne. You remember I talked a few weeks back about when Iona and I stumbled upon that kids' party and the kids' party bags and the politics around that.
Yes.
So Marianne has some things to say. She says, you discussed the predicament of not having enough party bags for unexpected children at parties. This reminded me of a family home video I recently watched with my mother. The video was of a Christmas picnic my parents had with friends and family at the local park. Santa, aka my father, was sitting on a chair reading a book to all of us kids, like a school teacher, except I noticed a few random kids sitting at the back row. I didn't recognize these kids in the video, and when I asked my mum who they were, she said that these kids had seen Santa from across the park and were so excited they rushed over to join Santa's reading group. The unknown kids then hung around, and this created such awkwardness that my mum had to quietly walk over to Santa during reading time and whisper in his ear, not to mention that the party bags in the Santa sack under his seat, as we didn't have enough for all the kids in attendance. I don't think us actual invited guests were ever given party bags that day. So the kids who were actually invited to the party didn't even get the party bags to protect these randos.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have done that. I understand the awkwardness, but I just think you have to sort of say to those kids, no, Santa's not coming
this
year.
You think that? We saw the list, and you're on the bad list. You've been on the naughty list.
He's a stick.
Yeah. You get some coal. Here's a lump of coal for you. Take that home and tell your parents you've been bad.
All right. That is TOEFOP for this week. Will, shows?
Yes. Comedy.com.au. I will be, depending on when you're hearing this, but Tamworth. Got a bunch of tickets to sell. So if you're in the Tamworth area, that would be great to come along to that. But the rest of them are selling very well. Hobart, some Queensland gigs, all at comedy.com.au.
And we should also plug our final live show in Melbourne is coming up on August 3rd. It's selling pretty quickly now. Like, it feels like we've got some momentum. Like we said, last show was amazing. This will be the last one for a while. So if you're in Melbourne or you want to travel to Melbourne, I 100% encourage you to do it because it's a lot of fun. And that is TOEFOP for this week. I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Will Anderson.
How long? Not long. Everyone relax.
Listener.